second time allowed.
I'm listening to Neil Danton, or we are listening to Neil Danton, running a session on photography.
Image
format, that's the first thing somebody wants to know about in relation to photography.
Have lots of different images and trying to work out a way of storing them in story versions in a sensible fashion as well as for case.
I think I'm going to go and sit down.
I mean, I would say formats. I also, you know, it is about your focus and there's lots of trendy focuses right now, and there's obviously cameras have things, and Instagram does stuff, and
I do speak my mind. I don't mince my words. I do swear a lot. So, shitty photograph plus funky filter still equals shitty photograph. Yeah. So that's Instagram out of the way, straight away.
What if it's a good photograph?
If it's a good photograph, you don't need some funky filter. You used to get the Kodachrome 30 years ago, and now everyone's putting the same 7 pictures up. So that's my view. Okay, so it's more or less the same.
Hello.
I'm just here, Neil.
Just here to admire my T-shirt. Excellent.
Likewise.
You're just here to here for the beer.
You've got an issue when I'm interested, which is copyright issues, legal side.
Copyright?
Okay.
It doesn't have to be any of those. It could be, handy photograph, portrait, whatever you want, but, you've only got a limited amount of time. Madam?
Kind of for food.
Food?
How do you, when you said, how do you photograph?
How do you photograph food?
And, if you've only got an expensive equipment, how can you make the best use of it?
Okay.
No, that's a good one.
Swish back and blew that we'll cut chat together.
Are we hooked up together?
We are.
How many people are restricted to iPhone, smartphone, cameras only? So you're all gone beyond compact or a DSLR or
compact,
an iPhone or smartphone, and compact. Okay, but now that one's straight.
You know why? Because I don't know which one to buy. I'm terrified about making the choice.
These are my weapons of choice. That is what I use all day, every day. And that's what I use when I'm not being paid to work, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. I do have a compact camera. Food photography, and the reason I put this lens on this camera is that is a 50mm lens. It's a prime lens, it's an f1.2, so it's a very fast professional lens, very expensive. But a 50mm lens is somewhere in the range that you probably have. If you have a DSLR, you'll have a zoom 28-105 or 24-85 or something like that. So 50mm is kind of within the range that most people would have if they got a DSLR. And coincidentally, 50mm is, you need to have a longer focal length than 50mm if you don't want to create distortion with perspective. If you go wider, you start to distort perspective. 50mm and longer, I would never take a picture of someone's face or head or head and shoulders or half length with anything smaller than a 50mm lens because it goes, wow. Now, it's fine for editorial stuff, newspapers or whatever, if you want to give impact. Shit, I photograph people with fisheye lens, you just it jumps off the page, but it's not very flattering. Nobody's going to appreciate it if you take a picture. But it also, if you take pictures of food, you are going to distort the angles, It's like with a wide-angle lens, when you photograph a building, you get converging verticals. It's because the lens is trying to squeeze everything in. Your eye corrects it. You look at a building, and you look up at a building, and the sides are still parallel, but they're not to a camera, because a camera isn't as clever as your eyes. There's, score 1 for the human body over technology. where did we get to? Lucy.
I want to know about using this as much as I can for food photography, because I would write a lot and take a lot of photos in the kitchen when I'm just cooking things and then posting them up. I post a lot of photos.
Okay.
And so I really want to get the most out of this. I noticed that, A, I'll never have my camera out, and even when I'm at home, I get a little guy to go all the way to the other room to get the camera, so I always go to this.
Okay.
So how can I use this to make it look nice?
Okay.
Or can I?
And not Lucy.
Image formatting.
Image formats?
Using my smartphone as a digital camera as well.
Okay. You have a choice of one with a smartphone. It's a JPEG. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no choice. If you take a picture of this with an iPhone and upload it, a lot of like Twitter clients, like I use Echo Phone, it gives you a choice of what resizing you want done. People are only going to see it that big. It doesn't have to be huge. You can download your iPhone pictures, and I do it once in a blue moon because I generally delete them anyway because it's just messing around stuff for me. And you will get a much bigger file that you can use for a blog. And if you're doing blog images for blogs, how many people have a blog? So you're all pretty much there. Is the size of the file that you need for a blog is tiny. You know, that camera is a 21.5 megapixel camera. If I can get a 120 megabyte file out of it, I need 100K for a blog. 500 pixels. That produces a 5,500 pixel image. Pointless uploading that. It just slows down the page loading time. Now, a lot of blogs like WordPress and stuff will reformat it smaller anyway. But then you're kind of relying on them to do it right. You might as well do it first yourself correctly. So, I mean,
what about those nicky people that want to double click on the image and see a blown up size of it?
First word's tough. Second word is
luck.
That's it. Yeah. Wasn't the one I was thinking of.
You have it covered.
Okay. There. Well.
ISOs.
Sorry, speak up a bit.
I take those websites.
ISOs.
ISOs and white balance.
ISOs and white balance. Whoa, you're technical now.
Sorry, I get a lot of flair. I don't know, the naked gardening post, there was a lot of flair in Barbie camp.
ISOs and what was the other thing? Sorry, tension span of a goldfish. White balance.
Okay. Oh god, there was something else, but I've forgotten it. No, that's French. Just soak up all your knowledge, basically, Neil, please.
Okay, it'll take a minute. Yeah.
I'm with Lisa. I'm just here to absorb whatever information you're going to check my way.
That's fine. Paul?
Composition. It's the
Composition.
It's the only thing I'm interested in, to be truthful.
I remembered what the other thing was.
Oh, sorry, you missed your chance.
Please shout out.
Macro.
Macro.
Yeah, but I've only got a standard lens.
Okay, you screwed it then.
Yeah.
Macro. Now, there is one good thing about compact cameras. So, kind of between that and that is a point and shoot. Has anyone got a point and shoot?
In the cloud,
I have mine behind because I only use it twice a year.
Oh, I do actually.
Okay, so point and shoot cameras do have the advantage over iPhones and DSLRs in that they nearly all have a macro function. And I didn't realise mine had one until I was on holiday somewhere and I wanted to take a picture of a flower. And my son said, why don't you use the macro function? The what? These are actually macro lenses for DSLRs or SLRs. That's a 50mm macro lens, which gives you a half life size reproduction. So if I take a picture of this, whatever it is, garlic. The whole image would be half life size, and that's a 100mm macro lens, and that will give you life size reproduction. So you can take a picture of an ant or a postage stamp or whatever, and it will actually reproduce the whole thing billboard size of an ant. but they are expensive. They're not as expensive as the other ones, but that's actually my weapon of choice for food photography because it's a 50mm lens. If you're back here, and it's a 50mm macro lens if you're in there. I don't know if that... Is that running?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There's some food ones on there. Some of those... Generally, when I do food... here's the other thing. This is a camera, and this is how most people use it. You're allowed to do that with it. and you don't have to take a license to do it. So, you know, don't forget, you can turn it sideways. You can turn it at an odd angle, which is the last resort of a failed photographer, but you can go like that and you can go like that. And upright images, because I shoot quite a lot of editorial stuff, vertical images or upright images or portrait, three names for the same shape, are used a lot because they fit the columns well. And it also allows me, you'll see a lot of stuff there where there's two images side by side, there's a close up and there's a far out. And that allows me to get the value of two images on one. It's mostly, most of that stuff is from my website. So if an art director or an editor is looking at the website, they know, okay, this guy knows how to do the close in and the far out. He can vary his shots. So I did that. So, Sean, sorry.
That links to the other people here. I'm just here to learn in general.
Right. Image formats, let's start at the top then. everyone knows, most images are called JPEGs. I get PR clients, or PR consultants or whatever, and they go, can you send me some JPEGs? Okay, can you send me some images? Yeah, sure. What size do you want them? 300 DPI.
Yeah.
Okay, that's meaningless. Utterly meaningless. If you ask me for a 300 dpi image, if you don't give me the length and the width, because 300 dpi only applies when you're doing something with the image. 300 dpi is the resolution of Vogue or House and Home magazines. The Irish Examiner is 72 dpi. Most newspapers are. There are a couple of very high quality magazines which are 360 DPI, but most magazines are 300. And so, coincidentally, is a print that you put on the wall, a 10x8 print or a 20x16 print, needs to be printed at 300. But newspaper quality is so low, I mean, it's tomorrow's fish and chip wrappings, the 72 DPI is newspaper resolution. I'm going to say it's computer resolution. It's not quite so much now because there are more high-resolution screens. That Mac is about 115-ish, give or take. But if you're adjusting a large file and you use it on a blog, on the web, you only need 72 DPI because that's all the screen can reproduce. So even if you shove up a 300 DPI image, it's going to be showing at 72 DPI. So a 300 DPI image needs a much bigger file size originally to give you the 300 DPI than the same image at 72 DPI. Are we following that one? Am I going too far? Fast. Okay. Image formats is 7 or 8. There's JPEG, which everyone has heard of. There's TIFF. There are RAW. There are bitmaps. There are GIFs. The only ones that I deal with is I shoot RAW, which is a proprietary format that each camera manufacturer has, and they're all different, as opposed to a JPEG. So the files that come out of this, the RAW files are called a .cr2. That's just the Canon naming of it. And the problem with the RAW file is you can't do anything with it unless you have the appropriate software to edit that image. Whereas a JPEG, you can see it in Windows Explorer or Explorer, whatever the Finder on there, and Explorer on the Windows machines, whatever it is. TIFF is a very high resolution image. If you've got that camera is 21.5 megapixel, I think. And I can't write on the side. And I can't bend it back too much because I pulled it last week. A 21 megapixel camera, it produces a JPEG roughly 3 times that size in megabytes. So if I take a shoot, I don't shoot JPEGs, but if I did with that camera, I'd end up with a 60 megabyte file. I actually shoot RAW, and RAW, coincidentally, works out almost the same as that. So I get 20 That's JPEG. I've got a 21 to 25 megabyte RAW file. If you shoot RAW, you then have to have a RAW converter, or Photoshop has a plugin to convert different RAW formats, or I use the editing software I use is Aperture, it's Apple's own kind of Photoshop one.
Does the new iPhoto can mask both as RAW and online?
Just recently they've done an Aperture update, and it's something I haven't actually looked at it yet.
Okay.
But it's something to do with you can synchronize Aperture and iPhoto.
Okay.
Now I know iPhoto. iPhoto can. Last time I looked at it was years ago.
Would you recommend shooting RAW and JPEG then, if you're like me and Photoshop, I have a really old version of iPhoto and I know it's on my computer.
Yeah, or like, so, I'd shoot JPEG. There is one interesting thing. Well, there's lots of interesting things about RAW. RAW images or RAW file format contains millions of times more information than a JPEG. It's kind of, and you've got a bit of latitude with a RAW file. If you underexpose or overexpose with a RAW file by a stop, maybe two stops, you can recover it. If you overexpose a JPEG, then it's good night. It's gone. The information's gone. And the JPEG, if you keep saving the JPEG, even at full size, and saving it at quality 12 in Photoshop or whatever, and if you did that 10 times, the image would start to turn to mush. Because every time you save a JPEG, you're throwing away information in order to reduce the file size. That's how it works. That's how you transmit it electronically. And you can't put that information back into a JPEG. So if you shoot RAW, you've got the most information you can, the most colour, the most bits of colour. And a TIFF file is kind of between the two. TIFF file, if I shot, if someone said to me, okay, we like that image of XYZ, we want to use it on a billboard, then I'd, from the RAW file, I'd produce a TIFF file and not a JPEG. And a TIFF is uncompressed. There's no compression, there's no loss. It hasn't discarded any information from the file. And from that camera, I'd get in 8-bit colour. This is going to get very technical, so I'm not going to go into it anyway.